Continuing on with the introduction to the Malachot of Shabbat. And last week we got through the first few sections here. Now we're at Davar Sheinu Mitkaven, which is, I believe, on the third of these, right at the bottom of the third of these pages. And this is another area, we'll see, it may apply everywhere in the Torah, but it certainly applies on Shabbos as well, where you could do something and not end up violating Shabbos. Sometimes it might be mutter. So let's get involved. What is Davar Sheinu Mitkaven? The Rambam has a definition here. I didn't tell you what he says, so we'll leave it as suspense. But the Dvarim Hamutarim La'asotan B'Shabbat U'B'Shat Asiyatan Afshar She'Te'aseh B'Glalan Melacha V'Afshar She'lo Te'aseh. I have an action, right? Person does something. My action can have has several consequences, right? It can have a series of consequences. Sometimes my action will have certain definite consequences. My action will almost always have certain definite consequences, but sometimes there can be things which will happen some of the time and not other times. If you're in one of those situations and you do something like that, im lo nitkaven lo tamalacha, you did something, your goal was, your intention was to accomplish outcome A and not outcome B, but outcome B sometimes happens and outcome B is a malacha, and you didn't have intention to accomplish the malacha, what is the halacha there? So the classic case here, just to put some, we'll see it in a minute inside, but just to put a little bit of meat on that, is let's say you're dragging a chair, right? You're dragging a chair over a dirt floor, either out in a field or in your house, which has a dirt floor, depending on what time period you live in, and the chair may or may not dig a sort of a charitz, a groove, or however you want to call it, groove into the ground. If you dig a groove into the ground in your field, that could potentially be a problem of choresh. If you dig a groove into the ground in your house, that might be boneh. But you have no intention to dig this groove into the ground, and it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. So the action I'm doing is moving the chair. Sometimes there's this outcome, aside from having the chair at the other side of the room, there's another outcome of digging the ditch or the groove. Is that usur if I had no intention at all of digging the groove, and it doesn't necessarily happen all the time? So we start to see this discussed, and it's discussed in many places. I brought here for you the Gemara in Beitza, on Daf Chaf Gimel on the Bet. There's a Mishnah there. A gala shel katan, you have a wagon or a trolley, whatever you call it, of a child, a stroller. It's Tmeya Medras. It becomes Tmeya in terms of Tumat Medras, because that's the base, it's a primary place where the katan sits. V'nitel b'Shabbat, there's no problem of mukta. V'eina nigreret el agabe kelim. But if you drag it across the floor, I'm not exactly sure how this was built, I don't know if it has wheels the same way we have wheels now, but if you drag it, you can't drag it on the floor, you have to drag it on top of other utensils, on top of other items, where you can't make a groove. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ena nigreret al gabe kelim." You can't grab it. You can't drag it on top, except on top of other utensils. Al gabe kelim in al gabe karkalo. You can do it on top, but you can't do it on the floor. My tama, what's the problem? Ka'avid charitz, because you're going to make a groove. Mani, who says that this should be a problem? Rabbi Huda, this is Rabbi Huda, de Amar Davar She'ein Mitkaven Aser. Rabbi Huda says, in the situation that we just described, if you have an action, and the action really intended for one thing, and it turns out you did an Iser, that's going to be a problem. So Rabbi Huda says, you have to watch out, you can't start doing things where you're, even there's a possibility, I don't know exactly how much of a possibility, but there's a possibility that some sort of Aser thing is going to result. Dear Rabbi Shimon, because if this was Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon would say that was fine. Ha Amar Davar Shein Mitkaven is Mutter. Rabbi Shimon says Davar Shein Mitkaven is totally fine, and you're okay. And this is his example. D'Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer Gorer Adam Mita Kisev Esafsal Buvad Shel Mitkaven Lasod Charitz. You're allowed to drag your furniture across the room as long as you have no intention of making that groove, if the groove is going to be made. So we see that this is a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to have to try and define exactly what Rabbi Shimon thinks, but at least at face value here, he seems to say, this is fine, it's mutter, you're allowed to do this, even though the result might be a result of an iser accomplishment, let's say, at the end of your action. Okay, so let's try and define a little bit the scope of Rabbi Shimon's position. We have in 30 a Mishnah from Kilayim, not a discussion about Shabbos. Kilay HaBeged, you have Shatnez, and you're selling it, not hopefully to a Jew, but you're selling it so that so someone else can use it. You're, how are you allowed to take that Beged of Shatnez which you're normally speaking not allowed to wear, can't wear the shatnez, are you allowed to wear it to show people like a model, right? They didn't have dummies in the store that you would put it on so people can see what it looks like when someone's wearing it. And we say that you're allowed to do that. Mochrik sut, mochrin kedarchan. If you have people that sell clothing, you're allowed to wear it. You're allowed to sell it in the normal way, which means that you would put it on in some way to show people what's happening. Bulvad, shelo yitkavnu b'chama mipnei achama, ubikshami mipnei kshamim. As long as they have no kavana during the hot days to be protected, the sunny days to be protected from the sun, and during cold days to be protected from the cold, you're putting it on not to wear it as clothing, but simply to exhibit it, to show it to other people. V'hatsnuin mafshilin b'makel. And the people that are tsanua or want to be more careful, it's not some versions here, mafshilin b'makel la'acharan. So some people say this means they had like a stick and they put on a stick, or they put a stick on top of their shoulders and they put it on there. They try to avoid putting it on directly. But what you see in this mission, and it's going to come up in the context of the Gemara that we'll see in a moment, is that you're allowed to put on the clothing without intention to wear it, as long as your goal is not to be protected from the elements, which is the purpose of clothing, then you're allowed to do it. So this seems to be a case of davar she'eno mitkaving. You put it on, and your intention was not to use it in the normal way, but to use it in a different way, and that seems to be okay. So we'll see this come up in a moment in terms of defining Rabbi Shimon. So 31. The background here is that we're talking about a case of carrying around a candle or some sort of fire that went out, candle that went out. And the assumption is, Rab Shimon says, if it went out, you're allowed to be metaltel. You can carry the candle around. Or whatever. That's what we're going to question. Rami le Abai le Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked on these two different sources, or abided to Rav Yosef, mi amar Rabbi Shimon, kavta mutter l'taltala. Did Rabbi Shimon say that if it went out, you can carry it? Kavta in, lo kavta lo, meaning if you have a candle, went out, you can carry it. If it didn't go out, you can't carry it. My tama, dilma bahadi dinakid la kavta. Because what's the concern if you have a candle that's on fire and you pick it up? Maybe when you pick it up, it'll go out, and that's going to be a problem. Hashma inan leil Rabbi Shimon damar davar shemu eno mitkavin mutter. But we already know that Rabbi Shimon holds that davar shemu mitkavin is allowed. If I pick it up and it's going to go, you know, it doesn't always go out. It might go out, might not. That's already a prelude. We'll talk about Psik Reshi soon. But it might go out, it might not. So, and I have no intention for it to go out. I'm just carrying it, so it should be okay. So, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Kisa Mita Usafsal, Ubovaj Lo Yitkavein La Sod Charitz. You're allowed to drag furniture as long as you have no intention of making any grooves in the ground. So here the Gemara says, well, maybe we can play with the exact scope of what Rabbi Shimon is saying. Maybe he doesn't mean it's mutter, maybe he thinks it's usser. Let's talk about the circumstances. So the Gemara tries to define it and says, Kol heicha dechi michavein ika isura deoraita, kilo michavein gazer Rabbi Shimon midrabanan. What Rabbi Shimon meant, he never meant it was mutter totally, davar sheino michavein. What he meant was, when you have intention for that usser thing, then there's an isser midoraita, and when you don't have intention for that usser thing, then Rabbi Shimon thinks it's asur midrabanan. And kol heicha dechi mechavein iki isur. Sorry, yeah. When we're talking about an isur deoraita, yeah.
Gorer mean that you can do this?
Yeah, it sounds like he says he can
like
do it.
One does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so
not that someone did. You can go ahead and do it.
You're right, and presumably, I mean, the question would be why the Gemara doesn't raise that. Possibly it's because it's going to be knocked out in a moment anyway from a different source. But you're right. Gorer sounds like you can do this. Fine. So when we're talking about a deraita rule, when you have kavana, then it's aser. When you don't have kavana, it's aser midirabanan. Kol heicha, unless you would say that the case of gorer is the case of an iser derabanan. So then maybe that would be okay. Kol heicha dechi michavein iki iser derabanan. And maybe what Rav Shimon thinks is whenever there's an iser derabanan involved, if you have kavana, it's a problem. If you don't have kavana, then it's mutter l'chadchila. It's probably more correct. So in any event, Rava says you can't say this. This doesn't make sense. You can't say that Rabbi Shimon, depending on whether it's deraita or derabanan, will have difference in terms of his rule, because we already saw this Mishnah in Kilayim. Rava, Metiv Rava, mochrik sut, mochrin kedarkan. You're allowed to take the shatnez clothes, put it on you with kavana that it's not going to, it's not for wearing, it's for sale. And in that case, if you put on a shatnez piece of clothing and you have intention to wear it as a real piece of clothing, that's an iser d'oraita. That's for sure aser. And nevertheless, we're saying that if you don't have kavana to wear it, you have kavana to sell it, to show it to other people, that's mutter totally. So you see that the split in terms of Rabbi Shimon is not, he doesn't care if it's d'oraita or d'rabbanan, it goes from one extreme to the other. Right? You can have an iser d'oraita if you have kavana to do it, then it's asur midoraita. The moment you don't have kavana to do it, it's mutter totally. And this is one of the scary places in Shabbos where you dance on this like edge between something that's asur midoraita on the one hand, and if you don't have kavana, then it's totally mutter, and so you're playing with fire to a certain extent. Pardon?
Only according to Reb Shimon.
According to Reb Shimon, yeah.
Why is this Davar Shlomo Skavein that Mocha Shein Tzricha LeGufo? I realize Mocha Shein Tzricha doesn't apply to Shatnez. But isn't it really like he's trying to do it for a different reason?
Why? So there's a question that's asked in the Tiferes Yisrael asks us, why is it not psik resha? Malach shein tzricha legufa, I don't know if there's a concept of malach shein tzricha legufa outside of malach.
Right.
But there is a question about why it's not psik resha, which maybe we'll come back to once we know what psik resha means.
The real question there is, what does silbash mean?
In what sense?
Because it shouldn't wear shatnez.
Right.
So the issue is really what the definition of wearing is.
Right.
Here it's for Shabbos issues, it's not the definition of the word so much as machshavas.
Right. So that it actually is more or less along the lines of the distinction Tiferes Yisrael makes. He distinguishes between malacha shein or psik resha in a case of malacha or iser malacha machshavet, and in a case of hana, which is enjoyment. So the goal in terms of wearing clothing is that you're getting benefit out of it. You're protected against the outside.
The distinction why it's not a malacha lagufa, according to the Rambam.
Yeah.
One of the things is that sometimes it'll happen and sometimes it won't.
Right.
Last week when we discussed the case of digging the hole. The hole's always going to happen.
Right. So malach shein tzricha, yeah, you're right. In general, malach shein tzricha legufa, you're directly doing the act of the malacha. It's not only just an outcome. You're doing the act of the malacha, and it's a question of your intention.
No, I'm saying when you take the sand out, you want
the chayfer one.
Right. Yeah,
you're going to have it.
Yeah, malach shein tzricha legufa cases are generally where you did the malacha, and it's a question of intention. Here, it's not clear about the outcomes. Right. Right. But in case of kilayim, we'll move on. We'll come back to it. In case of kilayim, you're always, anytime you put it on to show it off, you're also wearing it, right? So it's really just you're saying that since I didn't have the intention for the certain kind of use, I'm moving away from that being. You see what I mean? It's not an accidental thing. It's not a sometimes happening thing. Okay. How do we paskin in terms of we see this debate. Rabbi Yehuda says davar shein mikavein is aser. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, and we see Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter in the extreme. You're allowed to do it even if your kavana could turn it into an iser d'oraita in certain circumstances. How do we paskin? So in 32, I brought you the Gemara here in Shabbos. Itmar Rav Amar ein madlikin miner l'ner v'Shmuel Amar madlikin. Here there's a series of things that Rav said, a machloket Rav and Shmuel, and we're going to see how we hold in all of them. One of them has to do with Hanukkah candles. Can you light from one candle to another? Rav says no. Shmuel says yes. Rav amar ein matirin tzitzit mi beged lebeged. Rav says you can't take the tzitzit off of one beged and put them somewhere else. Shmuel says matirin mi beged lebeged. Rav amar ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon begrera. Rav says we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon in the dragging case, in the case of davar shein mikavein. And Shmuel amar halacha k'Rabbi Shimon begrera. Shmuel says we do hold like him. Amar Abaye, kol mile demar avid kerav lebar mehane tlat de avid kishmuel. So Abaye says we always hold like Rav, notwithstanding other rules about how we and when we paskin like Rav and Shmuel, except for these three things where we follow Shmuel. We are madlik miner l'ner, matir mi beged l'beged, and halacha k'Rabbi Shimon begrera. These are three areas where we follow Shmuel. So at least according to the Gemara, at face value, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that davar shein mikavein is mutter. We don't always follow these rules, these kind of statements. commandments, but sometimes we do, and in this case, we do. If you look in Shulchan Aruch in 33, davar she'enu mitkaven, mutter. You're allowed to do davar she'enu mitkaven, v'hu shelo yeh psik reshe, which we'll discuss in a moment. Well, you can't do a psik reshe. Hilkach gorer adam mita kisei v'safsal, bein gedolim, bein ktanim, ubevad shelo yitkaven lasod charitz. Therefore, you're allowed to do this dragging as long as you don't have an intention to make a groove. U'mutter l'rabe tabayit, in the times when you had dirt floors and the floor could become dusty, you're allowed to spritz water on the floor in order to collect up the dust so that it stops being dusty. Because his goal is not to fill up, there's a problem of filling up the little holes that are in the ground, but your goal is not to fill them up, and you don't always fill them up. Your goal is so that dust is not flying around in the air from the floor. Okay, So generally speaking, we paskin in Shabbos, davar she'enu mitkaven is mutter. I will just point out, just in 34, that there is a machlokas rishonim about whether we apply this rule, the fact that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, everywhere, in all cases in halacha, because we noted before the case in kilayim, it's not exclusively Shabbos situation, and if we're going to take this to the full extreme, we should hold like Rabbi Shimon everywhere, we should hold like him in kilayim and other places. So Tosfot quotes in 34 an opinion from the She'iltot, the afal gav de kaimulan kerabi shimon de share hainu dafka b'shabbat mishum de be'ina melechet machshavet abakol torakula sviralan kerabi huda ve'ein nira l'rid abakol torakula kaimulan kerab shimon de share. So this is a debate. It's clear that the concept of davar she'enu mitkaven, I had no intention for this part of my, in this outcome of my actions, relates to the notion of melechet machshavet, which we'll have to define more, but in terms of planning an action and doing, accomplishing whatever I plan to do, so it's clear that that would be a problem of melechet machshavet. It could be that it's, you know, this is in the world of kavana in general, in all cases of halacha, and that's the debate. The She'iltot says, in Shabbos we're willing to hold like Reb Shimon, because there's a concept of melechet machshavet anyhow. In the rest of halacha, we don't follow Reb Shimon, we hold like Reb Yehuda, and the Ri says no, we'll follow him everywhere. That's just so you know that exists. Yeah.
I think it's an ayah that says that we follow Reb Shimon in Hilcha Shabbos because he's more makil, because Shabbos is already more chamor, but on Yom Tov we follow Reb Yehuda because we're worried that people will be makalim.
There's the first gemara by Moksa.
Right.
No. Yeah.
So isn't that
where you can afford to be making?
In other words, that this would be an application of that rule. That's what you're saying. Maybe this would be an application of that rule. It doesn't sound like they don't quote the rule, but
right.
It could be, unless this is reasoning which underlies the rule. I'm not sure. Okay. Okay, so that's what we have in terms of davar she'enu mitkaven. Now, what we need to deal with is this concept called psik reshe. Psik reshe is really an offshoot of the world of davar she'enu mitkaven. In other words, davar she'enu mitkaven means I have an action, it creates certain outcomes. I have outcome A is mutter, outcome B is an isser, is a malacha. I don't want outcome B, so I go with outcome A. We're all good. What happens, but that's true, davar she'enu mitkaven, as we've said so far, is true when that usser outcome sometimes happens and sometimes it doesn't. We don't know exactly if it's going to happen. What about a situation where it's always going to happen? You're in a park and you do netilas yadayim on top of the grass. Anytime I wash my hands on top of the grass, I don't want to water the grass. I don't care about the grass. I don't want to water. I don't care about the grass. But I water my hands, and the water falls down on the grass. It's going to happen every single time. So that leads us to the world called psik reshe. We'll deal with what the terminology is. But psik reshe velo yamut, that if you have an action which you didn't intend for, I don't want it, I didn't intend for it, but it happens every single time I do something else, then maybe you can't get away from saying that that's usher. So let's have a look at some background here. Source 35, it would be usher. You can't get away from the isser in that case. Because you know, you're doing action, you really want outcome A, but outcome B happens every single time. We'll talk a little bit about the svara behind it in a moment. Okay, so let's just look at an example, 35. Amar Mar, we see here a little bit of the historical development, at least of Abaye's view on the topic. That's why there's a lot of different places where this concept is mentioned in the Gemara. Amar Mar, Basar, Afal Pi She'esham Beheret, Yimol, Divrei Rabbi Yashia. So you have a case where you have to do a milah on a child, and on the milah there is a baheret, there's tzarat. You're not allowed to cut off tzarat. And the question, you have a mitzvah asay to do the milah, and you have a mitzvah lo tasay, or whatever, yishamir b'nega tzarat, to not cut off the isra say, to not cut off the beheret. So what are you supposed to do? So we say, the statement was, Rabbi Yashia says, even though there is a beheret there, you should do the milah. Ha lama likra, davar sheinu mikavenu. So why do I need a pasuk? The Gemara previously had assumed that you learned this from a pasuk. Why do I need a pasuk? Davar sheinu mikavenu. This is davar sheinu mikavenu. V'davar sheinu mikavenu mutter. Right? He doesn't want to cut off the beheret. He wants to do milah on the child. I have no intention for the tzarat. I don't care about the tzarat. So why isn't that davar sheinu mikavenu? Amar Abaye, lo nitzo. Abaye says, you're right, it's davar sheinu mitkaven. Lo nitzricha ela l'Rabbi Yehuda. This statement of Rabbi Yashia, where he needs a pasuk for this, is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says davar sheinu mitkaven is aser. So if all things were equal, and you had this case of the mila with the beheret on top, you wouldn't be allowed to do it according to Rabbi Yehuda, so you need a pasuk to teach you that it's okay. Rava Amar, afilu tema Rabbi Shimon, mo de Rabbi Shimon b'psik reshe v'lo yamut. So Rava says, no, you can't apply the rule of davar sheino mitkaven in this case, because even Rabbi Shimon, who says that's mutter, will say in this case that this is called the psik reshe v'lo yamut. You cut off its head and it will not die. We'll explain what that means. I put the Rambam. We'll get there in a second. So Abaye, so he says that it's psik reshe, meaning that there's no possible way that I can do the milah without removing the beheret. Anytime I do the milah, I remove the beheret. So Reb Shimon will say davar shim mikavin is allowed if there's a possibility. I don't know if that other usher thing is going to happen, but if I know for sure it's going to happen, then even Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to do that. And we did a pasuk to teach you that it would be okay. And
Why isn't this a case of a
it's an Isser Asay? I'm trying to remember.
It is.
Asay is not Tochalos Asay, unless you just want to live in the kind of Asay. You don't want to live in the kind of Asay. Don't you actually material that it's the thing that you throw away and you do the meal?
Well, we say in the end it is Asay Tochalos Asay, but I'm trying to remember why we wouldn't.
No. In the end, that is
the question is, why do you need a pasuk here at all? Shouldn't this be asay dochalot asay? In any event.
Well, that is the Gemara's conclusion.
Yeah, I just don't remember exactly at this phase.
Right, there's a bunch of diyun in between.
Yeah.
This discussion, the upshot of it is.
Yeah, the upshot is it's asay dochalot asay. I don't remember exactly why at this point we're assuming not. I have to get back to you, man. I'm sorry. Okay, so that's. That so Abaye says, so the Gemara says Abaye doesn't hold of this concept of psik reshe v'lo yamut. V'ha Abaye v'Rava damar tavayu. Both of them said moder Reb Shimon psik reshe v'lo yamut. Bater d'shma m'Rava savra. So the answer is, and we have a tradition that Abaye also said this. And it's once he heard it from Rava, he said, oh, that's good. That's a good point. So what we do have is Abaye and Rava. Everybody agrees that Rabbi Shimon's rule of davar shem mitkaven has a limit. The limit is if there's psik reshe, if something is for sure going to happen, then that you're not allowed to do it. Then it's going to be usser. How usser, we'll have to see in a moment. Right, okay. So let's deal with this concept of psik reshe. First of all, where did the language come from? What is psik reshe v'lo yamut? Here in 36, you have the Rambam's definition of the story. Asa ma'ase v'nasit biglalo melacha shevadai te'aseh bishvil oto ma'ase. You did an action, and as a result of that action, there's going to be something which for sure is going to happen. Every time you do action A, it's going to create consequence B. Even if you had no intention to do that, you are chayev. It doesn't matter. Chayev means that, normally that's like a teaser, but chayev means it's aser midoraita. That's a real malacha. Shadavar yadua she'ef shar shelo tase otam malacha. Everybody knows that if you do this action, you're going to do that malacha. You can't fool. This already gets into the svar, which we'll return to in a minute. Ketzad, what's the example? Hayat hareish etzarach l'rosh of l'sachik bo l'katan. You need the head of a chicken for a child to play with, right? They didn't have balls. You need the head of a chicken. That's what you use for a child to play with. Avichatach rosho b'shabbat.
They did. The Gemara already had. They had ball to play with. It's just this was
Okay, this is
even worse. They thought this was a good idea. It wasn't necessity. It was
a violent video game.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah. The ball went over the fence, so now you need something for the child to play with. Nebuch, for chicken. So so you cut off the head of the chicken on Shabbos. Pardon? Probably true. Okay, so fine. So you cut off the head of the chicken on Shabbos, and you say, "What? I didn't want to kill the chicken. I'm very happy for the chicken to be alive. I just need a ball for my child. I need something for my child to play with." So he said, "Afal pi she'ein sof magamato lahrigata of bilvad." He had no intention to kill the chicken. Chayav shadavar yadua she'efshar she'achtoch rosh ha'chay ve'yichya. Everyone knows if you cut off the head of a living thing, it will die. This is not a discussion about brain death. the death happened as a result of his action and all similar kids. That's the meaning of psik reshe v'lo yamud, according to the Rambam. If you cut off its head, will it not die? Obviously, it will die. Okay, I want to talk about a little bit, just briefly, two ways of understanding this in terms of svara, which will help us a little bit later in the last case that we're going to look at of psik reshe. Why is this true? Why is it true that if I do an action, I only wanted outcome A? I don't want outcome B. I don't want it. I'm not mechavein. It's not like malacha shein etzrich legufa. Malacha shein etzrich legufa, I did the action. I had full intention for that outcome. I dug a hole to get the dirt out. I want that hole there because I want the dirt. And without the dirt, meaning I don't really want the hole, but I certainly intend to create the hole. There's no way you can say I didn't intend that. In this case, I'm not interested in killing the chicken. I'm not interested in watering the grass. I'm not interested in any of these things. I did a separate action with a mutter outcome, and there was an usser thing attached to it. Why is that a problem? So one way, which seems to be argued also in the Rambam, is that it's a matter of intention. You know, the Shabbos, we're talking about melechet machshevet, kavana, and you cannot argue that my intention when I wash my hands in the park is not to also water the grass, when every time someone washes their hands in the park, it also waters the grass. You can't say that's outside the world of my intention.
I can say it.
I mean, you can say whatever you want, but what we're saying is that
in the back of your mind, you know it's going to work.
In other words, that's
not my intention.
Yeah, but it's being viewed as an atomic whole. This is all together. It doesn't matter.
What? So, right. So, I mean,
you're about to say that's
right.
That's the other side.
Right. So, one side here, the Rambam seems to say, "Shadavar yadua she'ef shar shelo taseh ota malacha." How can you tell me that I'm only doing this? Everyone knows that the other thing is included, and presumably at this point, even if the person says, "I really, really don't want to, I really am not intending to water the grass," we say that you can't say that. It's going to happen, and therefore it's impossible for you to say that.
Again, the question of intent versus cognizance is also just complicated here, and we're in an overview.
You need to get into it more because there's, on many levels, clearly didn't intend.
Right. Okay. You can claim that you didn't intend it. The Rambam's telling you, you can't really claim that. You did intend it.
The Rambam knows you better than you know yourself.
Well, that is true.
So that's one way of looking at this. Okay, I hear that there probably you need to work out the fine points, but it's in the world of intention. The other possibility, which is raised by some people, it's raised by Rav Shimon Shkopit, Shar Yosher, other places as well, is that we're talking about the world of an action. If I do some action and there are many results from the action, right? There could be a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. There could be a butterfly effect somewhere else. How do I define what is called my maase, my action? What's included in my action? So one way to define what's included in my action is what I intend. If I'm doing something and there's a bunch of offshooting things, whatever I intended is clearly part of the action that I did. Another way to include something is defined in an action is it always comes as a result of what I did. So if I do A, and B always happens when you do A, even though I intended for C, I want something else. It doesn't matter, because it's part and parcel of whatever I did. So it's defined in terms of the action, not in terms, I don't care about what my intentions were. It's, everyone knows, if you pour water over your hand, over the grass in the park, it's going to water the grass. It doesn't. I don't care what I thought. I don't care about my kavana. That's called. It's one action, right? Right. Correct.
But it's necessarily entailed.
He's making a chiluk, and he's saying that miskaveh
only applies when you have some multiple possible outcomes, which some of which may or may not occur.
Right.
All right, but in the event that they automatically occur, they are foreseen, all right, then choosing to do one automatically chooses to do the other, and therefore it's considered misconduct.
So that was the first. The first view is it has to do with my intention. My kavana is attached to things, even if I didn't explicitly or whatever, I don't get involved in epistemology, but I didn't explicitly intend them. At some sort of subconscious level, I did intend them, right? Implicitly, because I know that they happen as a result of what I did, right? Specifically, whatever, implicitly. The other possibility, it's just a definition of the maisa. I didn't intend to wash my hand. I'm screaming, I don't intend to water the grass. I don't want to water the grass. I'm not watering the grass. I'm pouring the water in my hands. I'm screaming into the sky. I'm not watering the grass. I don't care. This is pouring water out in a park is called watering the grass. It doesn't matter where you poured it on first. It's not garmi. It's one action. It's just that's defined as part as an extension of the maisa.
This is not the type of lack of kavana which is going to help you.
Right.
I didn't mean to break the window. I just meant to throw a baseball in that direction.
Yeah.
So really, your toughness is not except it is part of the pulula because it's.
Right, we're saying it's part defined as part of the act. I guess in this case, it would part of the tachlit of whatever you're doing.
It's not part of the tachlit.
It's not part of your goal, right? I don't know which part of the tefillah soul you would stick this into.
Pa'ula.
Fine, so we'll call it part of the pa'ula. Either way, it gets.
You don't need both. I thought we said you need both.
You need that's in terms of being similar to the av malacha, right? But but the point is here: how wherever you're going to put this, it's part of your action. This distinction will hopefully be useful for us at the end when we get to the last section about psik resha and asafi. Okay, so that's the concept of psik resha. We know that there's this debate about psik, well, not a debate. Reb Shimon, everybody agrees psik resha v'lo yamla is okay. So now we have to get involved in some distinctions that exist in psik resha, and then we'll talk about a bunch of different cases. One area where you see two things we have to define from the following Gemara. What is the level of chiyuv? How aser is it? Is it derabanan? Is it deraita? Is it super deraita? No. Is it just derabanan, deraita? How aser is it? And the other possibility is we're going to see is that there's this concept of nichale and lo nichale. So we'll get there right now. So look at source 37. Here's a Gemara, Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph and Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, Hatolesh Ulshin, Vamhazared Zradin. If you rip up different kinds of things from the earth, im la'achila kegrogeret, im la'behema kemalep pihagdi, im la'hasa kedei levashal beitza kala, im liyapot et akarka kol shehen. So if you rip up this stuff, if the goal is to eat it, then the shear is a kegrogeret. If your goal is to feed it to an animal, and we're talking about kotzer, then it's to the mouth of a gdi, of a goat. If the goal is to burn it, so that you can use it as fuel, then you need enough to be able to cook an egg, a small amount. And if the goal is to make the karka nicer, liyapot et hakarka kol shehen, then any amount you do is going to make the karka a little bit better. There's no shear in terms of choresh being miyapot the karka. And the Gemara says, well, I don't know. If I want to rip it up because I want to eat it, then I can talk about all these other shiurim, but anytime I rip something out of the ground, am I not making the ground better? Atu kulhu lo liyapot et hakarka ninhu. They're all of these cases I'm making the karka better. Rabbi Rav Yosef damar tavayu be'agam shanu. So Rabbi Rav Yosef said, we're talking about inside a swamp where there's no value to ripping up these things. No one's making the karka better anyway. Abaye amar afilu tema besada delav agam. Even if you say this is a field, a farmer's field. Ukagon delo kamichavein. But I had no intention of making the field better. I just wanted to rip the thing out of the ground. I don't care about making the field better. And as we already know, that's a problem. Anytime you rip it out of the ground, you're going to make it better. This is psik reshe. Vaha bai v'rama abrava d'amri tarvayhu mod rab shimon b'psik reshe v'lo yamut. What about the fact that everybody agrees this should be psik reshe? Ripped it up, it makes the karka better every single time. So we get out of it by saying lo tzricha d'ke'avid b'ara d'chavrei. No, it's okay, because we're talking about a case where he did it in his friend's field. That's the answer. He did it in the friend's field. Okay, so the question is, what exactly does that answer mean? Rashi says, in 40, we'll skip to 4, we'll go back. Rashi says, in 40, that it's ba'ar d'chavrei lo ichpat le'li yapot. He has no intention, he doesn't care The exact meaning of the term lo'ichpatle in Rashi I don't want to deal with, but you can see Rabbi Akiva Eiger there, and he puts it together from a couple of places. Ba'ar d'chavrei, lo'ichpatle liyapur. I have no desire. I don't care to make the... It doesn't help me. I don't want to make the field of my friend any better. I don't know. Maybe it's not a good friend. I don't want to make the field of my friend any better. Okay, so we'll get there. And the washing the hands is actually potentially also this kind of case, depending on. But now we're trying to define, getting this a little bit more in
the park, growing your own lawn.
Right. So there will be a distinction, or if you wash it somewhere where we really don't care what happens to the grass that's underneath you. But we have an answer here. Oh, if it's be'ara d'chavrei, then it's not a problem. So if we just trace the Gemara said, in all the times when you rip up stuff from the ground, you should be chayev. Right, you should be chayv because of choresh or miyapi the karka. Then the Gemara says no, because it's davar sheino mitkavin. Then we said no, it's not davar sheino mitkavin because it's psik resha, which means, if we just stop there for a moment, that psik resha, it appears, creates a chiyuv midoraita. Right, the whole point of the Gemara here is that you should be chayv midoraita of choresh every time you fix the ground. And we said, you know, no, it's not because it's davar sheino mitkavin. Yes, it is because it's psik resha. It sounds like psik resha is a full malacha, a full chiyuv deoraita. Right, as opposed to right, not the case in Davar Sheino Miskaven. So, and then the it totally gets rid of the heter of Davar Sheino Miskaven. It's gone, and now it's a malacha. And the answer of Lo Tzarich Ba'ar D'Chavrei, this becomes debated. The question is, what is that? Is that just a way of getting us out of the world of Chiyuv De'Oraita, that you're no longer Chayv Mide'Oraita? So the question of the Gemara falls away. Right? It's that you should be chayev. Ah, it's psik resha. No, because he didn't want it, so it's only derabanan. Or is the lomi chayev, the ara d'chavrei answer, reverting this back to totally a world of heter? And that becomes a debate. I didn't put the whole Tosfot here. It becomes a debate between the Aruch. I know I didn't put part of the Aruch here, but the Aruch, the Sefer Aruch, and Tosfot on the page there in Kuf Gimel. Tosfot says what happens is, when you have psik resha de lo nichale, you revert into a world of malacha she'en etzricha legufa. We'll explain why exactly that is. But psik resha is asur midoraita. Psik resha de lo nichale goes back down a level to the world of malacha she'en etzricha legufa, which we say is pater, but it's asur midorabanan. That's what Tosfot says. So psik resha de lo nichale becomes asur midorabanan. The Aruch says, if you have psik resha de lo nichale, you go back all the way to davar she'eno mitkaving. And so it becomes mutter totally to do it. Why exactly is this the case? I forgot. Okay, we'll have to talk about that afterwards. But why exactly is this the case? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has an explanation of these points. Just make sure I find it exactly where it is in my notes. Right. So Toso thinks that psik resha means that fundamentally I have kavana for this action. Psik, once, you know, I did an action, it led to two things. It always happens, you know, the isser thing always happens. Fundamentally, it means I have kavana for this thing to occur. So the question of nicha is really only a question of, is this something that I want, or is it something that I don't want, right? In melacha she'en etzricha legufa, that's always the question. I dug a hole to get the dirt out. I know that that's mutter according to everyone, but I dug a hole in order to get the dirt out. So I always did dig the hole. The question is, do I need the hole or do I not need the hole? So Tosfot says, psik resha delo nichale is exactly the same thing. Once I have psik resha, I did this action. You can't tell me I didn't have kavana. I did have kavana. The only question is, do I need it or not? And once you say, I have an action, a malacha that I did, but I don't need it, I really need some other element that comes out of it, that's called malacha she'en etzricha legufa, and therefore you revert to the world of malacha she'en etzricha legufa. The Aruch somehow thinks, not totally clear, but that the concept of lo nichale undermines the whole notion of psik resha, right? We started at davar she'eno mitkaven, which was mutter. I had no kavana for this extra thing, this extra result from my action. Psik resha tells me, no, I don't care. You have to include it in terms of your kavana, in terms of your action. And lo nichale somehow undoes that connection. So now that the psik resha thing, the extra thing that I didn't want, I never intended for it to happen, and it's being just stuck in here because of whatever reasoning, is undone by lo nichale, and so it floats away, and we go back to the world of davar she'eno mitkaven. That becomes a debate. Exactly what the svara of the Aruch is, don't have it totally clear myself. It's not exactly clear, but that's what he argues.
Wouldn't intend something that wasn't good for you.
whether it's going
to
happen.
Right, so it could be. I was trying to think if you could work it in terms of those two things that we said before. Yeah, so, but that's what the Aruch says. So this is what we have, this debate. Psik resha de lo nichale, does it leave you pater, because pater of al asr, because it's like melachshin tzrich legufa, does it leave you totally mutter? And these two points are presented in 41 in the Shulchan Aruch. He does present both possibilities. And we're talking now about a case of a barrel, which has, as a stopper in the barrel, is a piece of pishtan, a piece of linen, which means that anytime you put it in or take it out, you're going to squeeze wine out of the bear, out of the stopper. Chavit shepekako bepekak shel pishtan. Listom nekev shebitfana shemotzin bo hayayin. So you have a barrel, there's a hole there where the wine comes out, and you put a piece of linen inside. Yesh mi shematir, af al pi she'iev shar shelo yischot. Some people say you can take it out, you can put it in, even though it's impossible that you will, there, in every circumstance, you're going to squeeze some wine out of there. V'hu shelo yeh tachtav kli. And that's in the case where there's nothing underneath to catch the wine. In other words, I'm pulling it out, it's psik resha. There's schita, right? Dash, whatever, I pull it out, it's going to squeeze the wine out, but the wine's going to fall onto the floor, so I clearly don't want that wine, I'm not interested. So this is psik resha, delo nichale, I don't want it, right? So there are those who say that this is okay. This is the position of the Aruch. The kevan she'enu nane b'schita zu, have a psik resha delo, the Shulchan Aruch says. It's since he doesn't have hana from this squeezing out of the wine, it's considered psik resha, and you have a little explanation there, the delo nichale umoter, and therefore it's fine. V'chalku alav v'amru, de'af agav delo nichale, kevan de psik resha hu aser, and there are those who argue with him, with this view and say, no, even though he doesn't want it, since it's psik resha, it's still usher, that's the view of Tosfos and others, right? The psik resha de lo nichale, it's not chayev, but it's an isser midurabana.
So there's no point in that shit between nichale and no nichale.
I mean, there is, that you're now in the world of isser midurabana, and so that can apply however you're going to apply it. But so in terms of doing it, l'chadchila, no. Va'olam noag in heter, and some people have a minhag here to do this anyway. V'yesh l'modaleim schut the keva, and sounds like the way the Mishnah Berurah is reading it, that they do it even though there's a thing there to catch the wine, and he tries to compare it to some other situation. I don't want to go totally into that case, just in interest of time. So in 42, the Mishnah Berurah says, in terms of explaining the conclusion there, he says, "Haynu b'tziruf asfar de braza rucha." Okay, I don't want to talk about that exactly. K'moshe katafti b'mishnah bura di lav hachi hachra to shulchan aruch bereisha seif de lo keha aruch. He feels that the position of the shulchan aruch is psik resha del nichale is aser. We don't paskin like the aruch. I think that's generally the view.
But the case from last week about digging the hole because you really wanted the dirt, not because you wanted the hole.
Yeah.
That would be nichale.
That would be psik. The malacha is not nichale. He doesn't care about the malacha, right? It could be even worse for him, but whatever. But he doesn't care about the malacha.
Right, but here,
It depends, I guess, on the situation.
Yeah, here, the
where
that
the
comes
hole is.
Out of the stopper,
yeah.
The dirt that comes out of the hole.
You don't. Well,
if you have a dish,
no.
You
in that case, you want
also,
the. If you want in that case, you wanted the dirt. But in this case, you don't want the wine. You just want the stopper to come out.
But if you have a boulder to catch the wine.
Yeah, so that's exactly. He said.
In that case, it would be considered nichale.
In that case, it really depends in terms of the hole about whether or not he wanted the hole, right? Or whether or not the hole.
The
so rather, that's us. Whether or not
the
hole is useful for him.
Nichale.
Yeah, the dirt is for sure he wants, but the dirt is not the malacha there. The hole is the malacha.
I'm saying midrabanan, then that should be also regardless because it's nichale.
It is aser midrabanan, but yeah. But I'm not sure it's because it's... But yeah. Okay, so that's the case. We seem to hold that psik resha de lo nichale becomes aser. Anyhow, midurabana. What about psik resha in the world of durabana? Now, there's a couple of derivative cases. That's basically what we have to deal with in the time remaining. What? So we've talked about davar shein mitkaven. We talked about psik resha, which branches off of davar shein mitkaven. What about if I did a psik resha, but the malach I was doing in the first place was not aser midoraita, it was only aser midorabanan. In other words, I had a situation where I didn't act, and one of the results was an aser midorabanan. Okay, so this, the Mishnah Berurah thinks is a debate between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. At least in one place he thinks it's a debate. Another place seems to think the Shulchan Aruch agrees as well. So in source number 43, we're talking about making holes. Mideoraita, the isser of making a hole, a petach, as part of bona, whatever, is if you make a hole which is machnis umotzi. It's big enough to put stuff in and take stuff out. If you just take a hole and make it or make it a little bit bigger, that's only an isser midirabanan. So where we start here is you have a case where there is a knife that has been stuck into the side of a barrel. Someone decided that's where they want to keep it. It's stuck inside, and when you pull it out, it's going to make the hole that it was stuck into a little bit bigger, which is only an isser midirabanan. The question is, and you want to take out the knife. So when I take out the knife, obviously I don't care at all. I mean, maybe not obviously, but I don't care about the hole. I have no intention of making the hole bigger or not. That is totally not my intention. I have no kavana for that. I just want the knife. I want to take out the knife. But anytime you take out the knife, you're going to make the hole bigger. You're going to do an isser d'rabanan. Mm-hmm. So this is a case of psik reshe in an isser d'rabanan. I'm pulling it out, and that's the case. So here, the Shulchan Aruch, in 43, we have the debate. The Shulchan Aruch says, "V'im hayas akin takua me'erev Shabbat b'chavit." Pardon?
How are you going to make the hole bigger for sure?
Because if it's only been, I mean, I don't do this a lot, but I can imagine it. If it's been stuck inside one time, right? It's the first time. It was just put in. So when you take it out, it's going to be a little bit different angle. It's going to expand the hole a little bit.
Wiggle it out.
Or if only because it's jammed in.
It's given in the case.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I'm not an expert in material engineering and why this is the case.
I'm not that whole either.
But that's the assumption. Im hayasa kin takua me'erev Shabbat b'chavit muter lehotzio ulachniso sherei eino mitkavin lehosif. So the Shulchan Aruch says this is fine. If it was stuck inside, you can pull it out, you can push it back in, even though it's going to make the hole a little bit bigger because you have no intention to make the hole bigger, and so it's fine. The Ramah says you can't do it. V'dafka shehotzio gamken pam achad mi ba'od yom. You have to have pulled it out once during the day. I guess that accomplishes more or less maximal hole size. Again, this is the assumption. If it was just stuck inside, because you're making the hole a little bit bigger, and it's a psik resha. So the Mishnah Berurah interprets this.
You're actually making the hole. When you first put the knife in, it's there is no hole. It's only when you actually pull it out the first time that you begin to make the hole. That's what he said. Osa nekev. But if you did it before, you already have a hole there.
I hear. That's really not how the Mishnah Berurah reads it, but that could be another way to read it, that you're just making the hole in the first place. In which case, the debate would be about whether or not this is called making a hole, not about, well, maybe not, because it could be the Shulchan Aruch will say, I don't care if you made a hole. It's psik resha, and it's a derabanan. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah reads this as a debate about psik resha and a derabanan or not. In 44, takua haynu shaya takua bechozek va'al yedei hotzaato va'achnasato psik resha hu sheyitrachev hanekev. Right, it's stuck inside. When you pull it in and push it in and pull it out, you're going to make the hole a little bit bigger. Afilu hachi kevan deikar isuro hu rak b'midrabanan svirale deshare kevan she'edo mitkaven leze v'da'at rama lachlokalav. So those Shulchan Aruch says that it's okay since it's Eino Mitkavein and it's Psik Resha and Derabanan, you're going to be okay. The Ramah says, I'm going to argue the Dafka Kashehotzio Pam Achad Miba'od Yom Dal Yadeza Nitrachev Ktsat De Tu Lo Have Psik Resha Av Abalav Hachi Aser De Psik Resha Hu De Af De Hu Petach She'ein Asui Lachnis Lohotzi De Yisuro Hu Rach Midurabanan V'Chanal Svirle De Psik Resha Aser Af B'milta Derabanan. So this is the conclusion there, that the Mishnah Berurah says this is a debate. The Shulchan Aruch here thinks psik resha and derabanan is okay, and the Ramah thinks psik resha derabanan is not okay. There's another case which he raises, which we'll just talk about outside. If you have a potted plant without a hole inside, so a potted plant without a hole, you can't, and it's on the ground, and you want to move it up onto pegs. So there's a concern here, midirabanan, of tolesh and of zriya, even though it doesn't have a hole. It's only if it had a hole and it's connected to the ground, then it's a bigger problem, then it's deraita. So you can't move it up onto pegs, you can't move it down onto the surface of the ground, and this is a case of psik resha. The lo nichle, if you want to move it up, you have no intention, right? If I just was on a ledge, I want to move it somewhere else. You have no intention. It's not an intention of anything related to Tlisha or Zriya. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch says that's going to be a problem. And so the Mishnah Berurah identifies it as a case of psik resha b'durabanan. Okay, the end of the day, the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume this is either a debate or whatever, but he thinks Ashkenazim are supposed to follow the Ramah. Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa holds this way, Rav Shimon Eider holds this way, Rav Ovadia, which I actually saw in the summary. I didn't read the whole tshuva. He has this massively long tshuva about these topics. So Rav Ovadia Yosef says, what? So yeah, it was frighteningly long. Rav Ovadia Yosef says that Me'ikar Hadin, it seems he agrees that the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, holds that this is really okay, and therefore if it's in a case of Tzorech, you're allowed to do it. If you need to, if you're whatever, however exactly you're going to define that. Okay, that's Psik Resha Durbanan. What about Psik Resha Delo Nichalei? In a Durabanan situation. We're running a little bit short on time, so we're going to skip 48, but there's a discussion there in Tosfot, which seems to relate to one of these cases. But we'll go to 49, which is talking about trapping animals. Trapping animals on Shabbos, one of the things we're not allowed to do. But there's an exemption.
Sorry,
yeah.
The last three cases were Nikolai, when he's taking the knife.
So the question is that already not a case of the lo nichalei? I hear I was thinking about it.
What's nichalei? He gets the wine out of it that way.
The barrel? So the assumption is I thought he just wanted the knife.
Yeah.
I think that there's wine inside that he wants to get out?
No, but I think he's going to use that
as his hole? Okay,
yeah.
So if he's using it as the hole, the assumption seems to be that it is nichalei. So then presumably he may have wine inside or something in there that he wants to get out. Okay, what about the lo nichalei? We're talking about trapping flies in a box. There's a rule in terms of tzad that there's only an isser of tzad in cases where that kind of animal is actually trapped in general, right? If it's a kolsha, that's the beginning of 49. Kolsha b'mino nitzod chayav alav ein b'mino nitzod pater. If there's something where if in that that type of animal is trapped, then you're chayav. If that type of animal is not generally trapped, it's pater of a lasser. It's aser midurabanan. Hilkach zvuvim. If you have flies and you want to trap them, even though normally speaking nobody traps flies for business for general commercial purposes, you cannot trap them. It's aser, and the Ramah has an application of this. Lachain yesh lizar shelo lisgor tevak tana o listom kelim shezvuvim bo b'shabbat. You shouldn't close a small box or some sort of kalim that have that have flies inside. Dave psik resha sheyitzodu sham, because that's a psik resha. I don't want to close. I'm not trying to trap them. I just want to close this box. But I know there's flies inside. Or I don't know. We'll talk about that. I know there's flies inside the box. I close the box. That's a psik resha of trapping them, and it's a psik resha in a case of a durabanan, because really flies are not something that's usher to do tzad duraisa. So you did a psik resha durabanan, and certainly this is, the presumption is this isn't the lo nichalei. I don't care if those flies are trapped or not trapped. Maybe I prefer for them not to be in my box at all. And so it's psik resha de lo nichalei, and the Ramah says you shouldn't do that. And he says, yesh makilim b'makom shim yiftach akli litlam misham yivrechu. Fine, maybe they're not totally trapped. That's a whole other discussion. But what you see from here, the Mishnah Berurah says, you see from here, the Ramah says, it's psik resha. I'm definitely trapping the flies in the box. It's durabanan, because it's only flies, and that's ein b'mino nitzot. It's lo nichalei. I have no desire to trap the flies in the box. And the Ramah says that it's aser, so you can't do it. So you see, the Ramah holds psik resha de lo nichalei in a durabanan is aser. And this is the conclusion of the and this seems to be the conclusion of most of the post. Again, Rav Ovadia the heter because of a sfeik sfeika. He says, in the first case, psik resha and a durabanan was not clear. The Beit Yosef said that it may be mutter anyway. That's what we said the last section, right? And psik resha delo nichalei, we saw in the Rishonim that according to the Aruch, that's mutter, that's davar sheino mitkaven. So he says it's a sfeik sfeika, safek if really psik resha and a durabanan is aser. And even if you say it is, but psik resha delo nichalei might be mutter also, so he seems to have more room to be makel. I don't know exactly how far he would apply it, but more room to be makel there. Yeah. The bees in a sukkah but that's already malacha shena tzricha lagufa for sure, because you don't want to trap them, you want to get them away from you.
It's also malacha shena nitzod. It's only drabana.
And it's drabana,
oh.
Right.
Are they a drabana nitzod?
I don't know.
Well, isn't nitzod really like when you use the skins or something, or you use the flesh?
Well,
it's not really to protect you from
that. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly if that would be lo nichale. Certainly you want them to be trapped.
What?
But you don't want to trap them in the normal way of trapping. You want to trap them to keep them away from you, not so that you have access to them.
Can you write the weekly halacha on this like you too?
Yeah.
You're showing clearly
that it's lo nichale. That's an interesting question. Did you find this based on people's general activities or not?
Where I came up with this was once, I won't say his name now, a very famous rabbi, well known, who, when he opened up a can of Coke, so he said, to show he's not making a keli or something,
you pour it out.
He threw out
the can. Okay.
Right away. So I'm wondering here, if you took the bees or whatever and threw them out right away, would that
show
clearly that?
I'm not sure. That's an interesting question in terms of application. Okay, so two final points about Psik Resha de lo nichale in Durba, or this situation exactly, right? So the Mishnah Berurah notes that the Rama says if you trap the flies in a small box, you have a problem. Psik Resha de lo nichale b'durabanan. What happens if you trap the flies in a big box? One of the other parameters of Tzad is how big of an enclosure are you trapping? If you trap them in an unreasonably big enclosure, then they're not really trapped, right? If I don't have quick access to them inside wherever they put them, then that's also not trapping. That's also a durabanan away from Tzad. So if you trap them in a big box, in this case, you would have psik resha, lo nichale, and two durabanans. I trapped flies, which are not really trapped, not really asur midoraita, and I trapped them in an enclosure, which is not really a deraita kind of trapping. So that, we would say, is mutter. That's psik resha betray derabanan. In this case, Mishnah Berurah says that's okay. Rav Shimon Eider does point out that you can't, you know, necessarily make this application everywhere because Hilchos Shabbos is a little bit interesting that way, and sometimes there are cases with three derabanans that we say are asr, but in general, there's a concept of two derabanans. Final point, and it's absurd to talk about this in 3 minutes, but we'll see what we can do, is suffix psik resha. The Taz asks a question. Yeah, like, you know it's absurd to talk about in 3 minutes. Suffix psik resha. The Taz says, what about if I don't know if there are flies in the box? I don't know. And I'm just going to close the box on top of it, right? Psik, and this is what he calls psik resha, suffix psik resha, or psik resha l'sha'avar. So the Taz wants to claim that anytime I don't know if there's something there, and I do something, I'm not required to find out, and I do the action, that would be mutter, even though if I had investigated, I would see there's definitely flies. If you close, you're going to trap the flies. That's a psik resha. But the Taz says, since I don't know, how can you possibly tell me that's a psik resha? And this comes back to the discussion of the svaras that we said at the beginning. If psik resha is an act, is a definition of kavana, right? We're saying you did an action, and the action leads, you had something you didn't intend for. But it happens. Every time you do this action, that's going to happen. You can't tell me that you weren't mechaved. So the Taz can say, that's true if I know what's in front of me. But if I don't know what's in front of me, I don't know there are flies in this box. Sometimes there are flies in the box, sometimes there aren't. I don't know. I didn't check. I put the thing on top. The Taz will say, you can't use the logic of psik resha anymore because I don't know what's in front of me. And that's called davar she'eino mitkaven. And he says you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Akiva Eiger might disagree with that. It's not totally clear if he's really disagreeing or just pointing out that the Ramah elsewhere might disagree. That works if you hold through that line of reasoning. And what Rav Shimon Shkop points out is that if you hold the other kind of reasoning, that psik resha means it's a definition of my action. Anything which I do, which leads to the consequence A in every single situation that I do it, that's considered one action. It has nothing to do with my intention. So Rav Shimon Shkop says then the argument of the Taz falls apart. Because the Taz is saying, how can you tell me I didn't intend for it? And we'll say, we don't care what you intended. If you close a box with flies inside, you're going to trap the flies. That's psik resha. You didn't investigate. That's your fault. You should have checked it out to see if there were flies in there. So that is a discussion that exists about suffix psik resha, whether or not that's okay. So that's what we've seen. We saw davar she'eino mitkaven, the subsidiary case of psik resha, and all the derabanans and suffix psik resha as well. There is still misasik, but I may record perhaps a discussion of misasik, and we'll send it out.
Next week is...